You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Thursday morning, September 18th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to welcome you here, having you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or by podcast, social media, I appreciate you getting your day going right here. And I've got a question for you. Did you ever think we'd be defending Jimmy Kimmel as part of an American crisis over the First Amendment? I mean, sure, Stephen Colbert, that makes sense. But Jimmy Kimmel, who's not a bad guy at all, it's just that he would have been third on my list of late night comics to watch. And yet here we are, making clear that ABC capitulating to Donald Trump by pulling Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Well, that's just something that autocrats do and the corporations that surrender to them. And again, we have seen this in other countries where media outlets aren't necessarily part of the ruling regime, but they are so afraid of it that they will do whatever it wants, which may as well be state-run media. And again, this isn't about a joke that Jimmy Kimmel told. If you're not familiar with it, Jimmy Kimmel did say something about the person who shot and murdered Charlie Kirk last week and, you know, made clear that the entire Trump MAGA movement was racing to conclusions about the shooter. And Jimmy Kimmel pointed that out. And the hue and cry that followed is the same hue and cry that has followed over every criticism or every factual post that's been made about Charlie Kirk. It's been weaponized by the far right. People have been fired. Shows have been canceled. Groups and cities are threatened with being defunded. That's not democracy. That's autocracy. We currently don't have an ironclad First Amendment in this country. Now, Jimmy Kimmel, that was not a First Amendment case. All right. The First Amendment protects you from government infringing on your rights. You can still face consequences for what you're going to say, but you would be less likely to face those consequences if it didn't feel like the government was going to work to infringe on your First Amendment freedoms. The kind of thing, you know, Derek Van Orden is doing right now. Derek Van Orden had quite the interview with an Eau Claire TV station yesterday, and we're going to play some of that back in just a little bit. So having set that up for you, let me tell you what else is coming up. We will be talking to political strategist Joe Zepecki about the dangerous political climate the far right has brought our nation to the precipice of. We've also been brought to the precipice of stagflation, and Sean O'Malley will give us the latest update on the Federal Reserve lowering interest rates, not so much because of the pressure from Donald Trump, but because Donald Trump has taken the best economy in the world and, again, brought us to the point where we have inflation and soft employment in the country. Probably the worst place you want to be if you're wanting to fix the American economy. And yet here we are. We also have a faction in this country that is decidedly anti-science, anti-vaccines of all things. We'll meet with pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks, who has a new video series, Raising Wisconsin, on Up North News social media sites. Her latest report explains what vaccines actually do inside your body. We will hear from Senator Tammy Baldwin, who was part of a hearing yesterday with the now former director of the Centers for Disease Control about the political pressure brought on her to say things that were not backed up by science and facts. And when that wasn't the case, when she wasn't willing to do that, Robert Kennedy Jr. Told her, get out. that he needs toadies there running the CDC. And Senator Tammy Baldwin was part of the questioning in yesterday's hearing. We're going to visit as well in our 7 o'clock hour with a candidate for legislature, former Racine City Council member Trevor Young, who recently announced that he's running for a state Senate seat that's been held by a Republican for most of the past 14 years. We'll have Sherita Booker telling us very shortly here about some weekend events you can hit around Wisconsin. Chad Holmes will talk to us about stories he's following for civic media in the Wausau area. Now, if you can't stick around for the full show, have we got a deal for you? Take us along on the Civic Media app. You can play it off your phone. You can play it through Bluetooth on a wireless speaker. You can play it through Bluetooth in your car and have us wherever you're going. Also, get us on Spotify and have that show handy. You can listen on demand anytime you like at a Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. Let's look at Brittany Merlot's state forecast for today. It is a simple one, cooler and getting wetter. Just in time for the weekend. For today, cloudy and spotty showers. Highs today, a big range. Upper 60s up north to mid 80s down south. And then a light easterly breeze. For tonight, on and off rain and thunder. Lows tonight in the mid 50s up north, 60s south. And again, a light easterly breeze. Again, Sherita Booker will tell us about some fun events that you can hit this weekend as we come ever so close to the weekend. We're one day close. We're almost, Parker Olson, who produces the show, we're one day close. We're almost there.
Almost there.
Has this week not just dragged along?
Oh, it's about to get a lot longer for me because I have a lot of stuff to do today. So
see, no rest for the weary.
Yeah.
That's exactly where we are. But there's just no other. The only way through is forward, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Unless you're going to take a sick day or a vacation day. And you know what? Those just aren't allowed with this. I got a to-do list so long.
Exactly. That's the thing. It compounds. You can't. Yeah.
I can't die because there's just all this stuff that's got to get done over here.
This?
You know? Yeah. Who else? You know what? We can all.
That means you're irreplaceable, Pat.
I was going to say we can all be replaced. Let's stop kidding ourselves here. No, it reminds me of some advice that I've given some friends who, as we've been talking about retirement, yeah, it's time for the old age chatter part of it. And some people saying, "Oh, I could never retire. I have so much to do." And I'm like, no. There will always be somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
I know you want to do it, but you know you've either left jobs in the past, or you know you've changed cities, or you know whatever the case may be. People have left jobs, even with the longest to-do list, and somebody else just comes in and does it. So,
that's the thing. If you're not there, then they're going to have to find someone else to do it. Don't worry about it. It's not on you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, do the best you can while you're doing it. Just don't feel like, you know, you're tied to it for 24/7 the rest of your life. I mean, life is too short for that. If we're learning anything about the world out there, it's you got to go out and enjoy things for yourself now and then. You know, with that, I'm going to put these headphones down and I'm going to go to the beach. I'll see you later.
Yeah, that's Yeah. Get on that pontoon boat.
I'm heading to the airport, pal.
Back to the Caribbean now.
Yes. All right. Well, before I talk myself into doing that, let's turn over to sports. Brandon Woodruff. He looked good last night, pitched 5 solid innings. Mm-hmm. Let's see. He gave up only 2 hits and only 1 run, 9 strikeouts. He was a strikeout machine last night. It was fun to watch him.
He's very Brandon Woodruff might be one of my favorite pitchers to watch, just because he doesn't just throw the ball. He pitches. He knows where to locate stuff. His sequencing is really good. I think he's a really fun watch.
He really is. And then of course it helps when you get some help from the offense. Sal Frelick did that with a 3-run homer. Blake Perkins tied a career high with 5 RBIs to lead the Brewers to a 9-2 win over the Los Angeles Angels on Wednesday night. The Angels, I mean, they were snake bit last night. Their starting pitcher, Jose Soriano, he was already kind of struggling anyway. And then Jake Bowers hits a line drive right off of his pitching arm.
Yeah.
It came off the bat at 107 miles an hour.
Yeah.
and you're looking at that pitcher and you're like, you totally expect him to do the Rodney Dangerfield thing from Caddyshack. Like, oh, my arm, it's broken. and for his arm to actually like fall off, it hit his arm that hard. I can only imagine what that bruise is going to look like when he wakes up this morning.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I didn't realize I hit his arm. I thought I hit him like in the hip, which I think would hurt more.
Well, if it hits you, it could have hit you right on the point of the elbow, but yeah. Thankfully, x-rays were negative, so nothing's broken. Good. But he's going to be bruised for a little bit, so he had to come out of the game in the second inning.
That
made it tough for the Angels.
It feels a little rare to me that you see a pitcher or any player really not try to argue their way back into a game. And He was like, glove off, hat off, nope, I'm done, go to the dugout.
Yep.
I'm out of here. Yeah. See you.
I do see that more often now, where players know well enough, like, no, I'm not. Don't do the rub some dirt on it. This is serious. Yeah. And they just go, nope, that's fine. So the series with the Angels will wrap up tonight. Again, it's three night games. And so Quinn Priester will start game three. Coverage will begin at 6:05 on several Civic Media radio stations. And then after tonight's game, they head right to St. Louis. No day off. And it's not a day game today, giving them time to travel. They just head right to St. Louis tonight for a three-game series that starts right away tomorrow. And then after those Friday, Saturday, Sunday games, they head right to San Diego for games on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then they finally come home for the final homestand of the season, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
and
so.
You can win tickets to that tomorrow. Yes, because tomorrow is, Parker,
the final free ticket Friday.
Wow, that's just like we rehearsed it. That's awesome. Yes, free ticket Friday. One more time tomorrow. Your chance to get some seats at American Family Field for free. You are not going to be able to do that pretty much for the rest of this season and the postseason. So somebody's going to get free tickets to an upcoming Brewers game as part of Free Ticket Friday. If you are new to this, go get the Civic Media app. Get that on your phone. And tomorrow we will give you a keyword here and then other keywords throughout the day on different shows. And then you use the text feature on the Civic Media app and text us the keyword, and you are part of a statewide entry. One lucky winner will be pulled to get tickets to a future Brewers game. But again, you can hear the Brewers on Civic Media coming up tonight. And then we've got the Packers, who are playing this coming Sunday at Cleveland at noon. And this is one of those games when it's early in the season, when it's fall and it might be beautiful out there, where, you know, the TV ratings could be way up there. Or if it's a gorgeous fall weekend, nothing for the TV people, because they're all listening on the radio. And we've got pregame coverage starting at 10 a.m. Sunday on stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, and Wautoma. So head over to Civic Media to learn more. And of course, you got the Badger football team. They open the Big Ten part of their schedule on Saturday, hosting Maryland, 11 a.m. kickoff, 9 a.m. pregame on several stations of the Civic Media radio network.
Oh, I'm worried.
What was that?
I'm worried.
Oh, you're worried about the Badgers?
Yeah.
Well, look, they won the first two games of the season, and you've made the bold prediction that they're going to win three. So all they got to do is win against Maryland this weekend, and then they can coast the rest of the way through, right?
Doesn't
it work like that? Maybe not exactly like that. All right, coming up in just a bit, we'll talk to Sharita Booker, social media manager here at Up North News, as we go through some of the big events of the weekend. We'll have today's history lesson and the unusual remarks. Well, they've become usual remarks for Congressman Derek Van Orden. Unusual if you're big on things like, you know, the First Amendment. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wasota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm here with Sherita Booker. Sherita, welcome. No pressure, but boy, a lot of people are going to be paying attention to you this week.
Are they not?
Yeah, because here's the thing. We'd never been to the Eau Claire Fall Festival, and we went last weekend. Sherry wanted to go, and I said, where did this idea come from? We've never gone to that before. Well, Sherita made it sound fun. I'm like, Sherita hasn't been there. She's just telling you about it. She's like, Sherita makes everything sound fun. I want to go to all the stuff she talks about. So
pressure for this week.
You now have a fan amongst the radio audience. I mean, I thought it would be the guy she was married to, but it turns out to be you. So now no pressure. You really got to sell this. So we're going to start with a challenge. And I want you to sell us on the Viola Horse and Colt Show as we head to Viola, southeast of Viroqua, for whatever's happening there this weekend. It's all yours, Sherita.
And so it'll be Viola's 94th annual Horse and Colt Show. And it's a family tradition that's free for everyone. And this event will feature a horse show, a ranch rodeo, a horse pull, a tractor and truck pull, arts and crafts fair, and a carnival for the kids. And there will also be local food and live music. And admission for this event is free, like I said before. And if you want more information and some details, you can go to wp.horseandcultshow.com.
wp.horseandcultshow.com. And under the live entertainment for Friday night, they've got listed high mileage after the tractor pull. And then on Saturday night, I like this one, and I'm sure this guy's never heard it before, the Tim Daniels Band. I'm sure Charlie Daniels has a little brother or something, but the Tim Daniels Band following the conclusion of the tractor pull on Saturday. So that there's a parade and everything else. You've sold me on it, Sherita. I would go. This next one you don't have to sell me on. It involves bacon, and for it we have to go to River Falls.
Yep, and that kicks off. The River Falls Bacon Fest kicks off tomorrow at Heritage Park and runs through Sunday. The event is free, and you'll find everything from sweet to savory bacon-inspired dishes, pig theme contest, live music, a vendor fair, a beer garden, and family-friendly activities all weekend long. In the center of the fest is where you'll find the Bacon Central. They'll have bacon flights, and this year's flavor lineup is sweet and smoky, honey habanero, mindful ranch, and buffalo. And the weekend will wrap up with downtown car cruise from 11 to 4 p.m. on Main Street. And that will be filled with classic cars, hot rods, and custom rides. And for more information on that event, visit rfchamber.com/bacon-bash.
Again, that's the River Falls. That's where the RF comes from. rfchamber.com will get you there. And I'm sorry, a bacon flight. It's a bacon flight, people. With all those flavors that you just mentioned, which, by the way, I have to tell you about my college buddy, Kevin. He, when he was living in somewhere in Iowa, I want to say Ames, he helped organize a neighborhood thing where it wasn't just your regular neighborhood block party, street party thing. There was always, it was a bacon fest right there on the street, and everybody had to make some kind of a dish that involved bacon.
I love bacon, so I would love to live in that neighborhood.
How great an idea is that? So I don't believe that Kevin trademarked that, so y'all go right ahead and steal that and then get over to River Falls for the Bacon Bash. And we're going to conclude in Cedarburg, right, where they have more than their share of festivals, and I think the Wine and Harvest one might be the granddaddy of them.
Yep, and that one's coming up this Saturday and Sunday, and it's located in its historic downtown Cedarburg. There'll be plenty of award-winning wine from Cedar Creek Winery, and the festival include food stands and food trucks, and you can shop at the marketplace filled with locally produced items like honey, cookies, candles, soaps, and more. There will also be a family fall fest located at Cedar Creek Park that includes a live mermaid, a bubble artist, a bounce house, face painting, and bumper boats. There will also be a giant pumpkin charity regatta that will take place on Sunday, where racers paddle 700-pound pumpkins across Cedar Creek to raise money for local charities. And the annual grape stomp competition, where teams of four race against the clock to stomp as many grapes as they can, will be taking place both Saturday and Sunday at 1 and 3 p.m. The festival is free to attend, and for more information, visit cedarburgfestivals.org.
cedarburgfestivals.org. The paddling in giant pumpkins has me a little concerned, but I'm sure they haven't lost anybody yet to that. And of course, all of that is on top of a whole bunch of Oktoberfest celebrations. Of course, there's Oktoberfest here in Chippewa Falls Friday and Saturday, Waukesha, Manitowoc, Burlington, Stevens Point, Three Lakes all have Oktoberfest. And as we mentioned before, in Elkhart Lake, they have Elktoberfest. Very nice. I really like what they did there. There's the Waukesha Apple Harvest Festival, the Brentwood Chili Cook-Off, Bonduelle Founders Day, Fall-O-Rama in Waupaca, the Downtown Beloit Fall Festival. And we, Parker and I agreed this is our favorite one for this weekend, the Atomic Voodoo Rockabilly Meltdown in Edgerton on Saturday.
That's interesting.
That's a mouthful right there. Travelwisconsin.com will get you to all these things, especially the ones that Sherita Booker highlights for us every week at this time. Sherita, thank you as always. Have a great weekend.
You too, Pat.
All right. So getting back, Parker, to Oktoberfest, I know we can't get you up here. Have you polka danced at all? You ever do a polka or waltz?
I do not believe I have, no.
Okay. All right. Well, you could get your opportunity at any of these polka, you know, Oktoberfest things. The one in Chippewa Falls here that kicks off tomorrow. The bands there include the Rhythm Playboys, North of Dixie, the Mississippi Valley Dutchmen, Gary's Ridgeland Dutchmen, which I'm sure they're at every Oktoberfest, everywhere. The Hayes Boys Orchestra and the Bear Creek Band, all playing in Friday at the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. Then on Saturday, the Mike Schneider Band, Homegrown Tomatoes, the Copperbox Band, Six Figure Sunrise, Polka Riotti, and the Charlie Justman Band. All that coming up. Head over to Chippewa Falls Oktoberfest on the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. Today's history lesson is on the way, including some premieres. WKRP, for example. What year did that premiere on CBS? The answer coming up next. You're up north.
Intoxicated, could not explain his nudity.
Baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, WKRP.
Well, the answer to today's history trivia question is 1978. It was on September 18th, 1978. That WKRP in Cincinnati, a little TV series about a radio station switching formats from easy listening to rock, made its debut on CBS. Hilarity ensues.
I had no idea what that show was about. I just knew that it was like a radio station, and that's about it. The only thing I've ever known about that show is the turkey bombing.
Of course, yes. Yeah. No, there was so much. The entire premise of the show was that it was this struggling little station that was playing Beautiful Music was the format name at the time. We now call it Elevator Music. And that's, you know, where it was supposed to be. And this new program director comes in to shake things up, lets them play rock and roll to try to get up in the ratings. And then there's all kinds of hijinks.
I see. You know, Elevator Cap Times Idea Fest, they had excellent Elevator Music.
Did they now?
I got a Zomers, Dom and I can all attest it was fantastic.
All right, we got to find that out. Roger puts on Facebook, the first song that Dr. Johnny Fever played on WKRP was Queen of the Forest by Ted Nugent. And it's a great scene where you know, Johnny is told that he can now start spinning rock and roll records. And so he takes the needle on the classical music record and just scratches it right across there, breaks the record in half, puts on the Ted Nugent record and lets it go. It is one of the better show beginnings to a series. If you ever want to establish the premise for something, that's where you go. So
okay. WKRP. I like it. Yep. Way to establish rock.
That's exactly it. Okay, let's see. So we're doing kind of this season of TV premieres, and it was on this day in 1965 that NBC premiered a new sitcom starring Barbara Eden as a genie and Larry Hagman as an astronaut who becomes her master. The I Dream of Jeannie. Again, that premiered 60 years ago today. Let's see, I had another one here. Yeah, The Addams Family premiered on this day in 1964 on CBS. Speaking of CBS, it before TV, it started as a radio network, and the radio network began on this day in 1927, heard on 18 stations originally, and then, of course, spreading across the country. The New York Times first published on this day in 1851. It was first called the New York Daily Times and then later changed its name to simply the New York Times. So back to I Dream of Jeannie, since we heard the theme there just now. Larry Hagman played an astronaut who I would assume was in the Air Force, since many of them were. And it's worth noting that the Air Force has a birthday today. On this day in 1947, the National Security Act takes effect. It was a post-war reorganization of the U.S. military that marked the beginning of the U.S. Air Force, the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Council, and the U.S. Department of Defense, which is still its official name, despite whatever branding a warmongering president would want it to be. It is still the Defense Department. The number one song this week in 1961 was written by Carole King and Jerry Goffin and sung by Bobby V.
My baby, please don't ever make her blue. Just tell her that you love her.
Again, that was 1961 that this was the number one song. Happy birthday to Frankie Avalon, who had a lot of hits back in that era. He is 85 years old today. It's a bit of a melancholy day for Cubs fans. Ryne Sandberg, who passed away in late July, he would have been 66 years old today. On a somewhat related note, the Ken Burns documentary miniseries Baseball premiered on PBS on this day in 1994 and would go on to win the Emmy for Outstanding Informational Series. Did you ever watch the Ken Burns baseball series?
No, I haven't. I'm interested, though.
It is, I mean, MLB Network runs it all the time in the off season.
Oh, sure.
And obviously, because it's historical, it's about baseball, it still, you know, stands the test of time. Obviously, you can watch it today and be just as impressed as 31 years ago when it came out. Highly recommend it.
So it's like original, like old baseball, or like
it is, it
what's
is
going
the,
on in the 70s?
Yeah. No, it is the history of the beginnings of baseball. Oh, cool. All the way through, you know, say the 70s or 80s. I forget where he stopped.
Sure.
But yeah, a very, very outstanding series. On this day in 1987 was the release of the thriller Fatal Attraction, starring Michael Douglas and Glenn Close. Pet rabbits everywhere still shudder whenever that film gets mentioned. And I don't know that I can really spoil it for you, Parker, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about.
Okay, then.
People who have seen Fatal Attraction, and I mentioned bunny rabbits, they know exactly what happens to your pet rabbit when daddy has an affair. Anyway, happy birthday to... I'm just going to leave you hanging there. You got to watch it. Joanne Catherall is 63 years old today. You don't know her name, but you know the group, the Human League. That would be Joanne Catherall, 63 today, formerly worked as a waitress in a cocktail bar, but now is living her life on her own, either with or without you. Aisha Tyler is 55 years old today. Jason Sudeikis is 50 today. The person that you may know from Saturday Night Live, or if you were fortunate enough to watch the show, Ted Lasso. I don't know if it's just that he's that good at playing the character, or if Jason Sudeikis just wasn't that much of a household name. But I sometimes have to catch myself and go, now, wait a minute, who's the actor that played Ted Lasso? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Jason Sudeikis from Saturday Night Live. But, I mean, he just so immerses himself into that character. You know?
Every clip I have ever seen of Ted Lasso has made me go, this is genuinely a guy who has zero idea what he's doing in football.
Yes. Soccer, it's so fun. Great premise for the series here. On this day in 1938, the Chicago Bears beat the Green Bay Packers 2-0.
Oh,
at that point in 1938, it was the fifth time an NFL game had ended 2-0, but it hasn't happened since.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a name for football games.
Scoregami.
Scoramucci?
Scoregami.
Yeah. Scoregami.
I'm a huge fan of Scoregami.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Tracks all the different ways that a football game could end, and every so often, a score combination comes up, and a football game has never ended in that score before.
I can't remember which team it is. I want to say it's North Texas, the college football team. In their, like, media guide on game day, they have a chart of Scoregami for their program, specifically.
Yes.
I like it. I'm a nerd for that stuff.
I'm looking at the chart right now, and I'm trying to look for like one that you wouldn't expect. Here's one 32 to 15. Okay. So no football game has ever ended 32-15, and so when it does, people make a big deal about it, like Scoregami. Never happened. Man, we get excited about the little things, don't we?
We have to.
All right, let's get back to the music history, back to 2010 when Katy Perry had the number one hit. This was Katy Perry's third number one hit, again this day, 15 years ago. And finally for music, James Marsden. And I know what some of you are thinking, James Marsden singing? Yeah. I mean, before you saw him in Paradise, which is his, the current series he's in, where he plays a president of the United States, and before X-Men and 27 Dresses, and somewhere around the time he was doing Party of Five, he was in the movie Hairspray, playing kind of a Dick Clark type guy leading their version of American Bandstand.
Hey there, teenage Baltimore! Don't change that channel, because it's time for the Corny Collins Show, brought to you by Ultra Clutch Hairspray. Go every afternoon when the clock strikes four.
So there you go, James Marsden. He can sing.
Yeah, that's actually like good.
That's from Hairspray, and Hairspray is a delightful movie. I had never seen the play, but a really nice movie.
I should.
Queen Latifah is in it. Zac Efron, just a really, really nice little weekend escape movie. If you see it come up on TV. On the National Day calendar, this is International Equal Pay Day. This is Locate an Old Friend Day. Although, I would remind you what I just said about Fatal Attraction, so be careful which old friends you look up, okay? This is also National Cheeseburger Day, and as a result, McDonald's has 50-cent cheeseburgers.
Oh.
But, there's a catch, you gotta order them through the app. And I like a lot of apps. I use a ton of apps.
Yeah.
I have just had the worst luck with the McDonald's app over the years.
Oh, really?
Where an order gets lost, or you think you have to put it in a second time, and then there's two orders waiting there for you. And I'm not a dumb guy. You know, I can work an app. So
we can clip that.
I saw the 50-cent burgers. I'm like, hey, through the app? No, that's okay. I'll pay full price. Thank you. There are also National Cheeseburger Day specials at Burger King, Dairy Queen, Applebee's, Red Robin, Sonic, and I'm sure more. All right, 6:46 the time right now. In entertainment news, Park, let me get my RB11 oversized mug here. What do you got? What do you want to pitch us on today? What's today's big entertainment story?
Oh, God, do you want to hear about Kanye West?
Do I want to?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure that we want to, but you know what? He's in the news right now because he has a documentary coming out tomorrow.
Okay.
Apparently, it is awful, as you may expect. One of the quotes reviewing it was, it's like watching a car wreck in slow motion for 2 hours.
Ooh.
So.
Ooh. Okay.
As you may expect for a Kanye West, anything.
So, did he take part in it?
Yeah.
Was he like a producer of it or something?
I don't entirely know. Apparently, most of it was shot on iPhone, which I don't entirely get.
Okay.
But yeah, it captures everything from like the last couple of years, everything from like his very not good politics to his apparent presidential run and just weird encounters with other celebrities. It seems like a weird thing that I don't think I want to spend my time on.
Yeah, the documentary is called In Whose Name. It was done by Nicholas Ballestero, who filmed Kanye West over 6 years.
Yeah, it's like 3,000 hours of footage.
Shouldn't we give him like a prize for that? Just for following Kanye around? I mean, because again, look, I know there's a song or two I like. Yeah. I know that I watch TMZ enough to know that he is something. He's really something. And I can take that in small doses, but through 6 years of following him for a documentary, where are we going to see this thing? Is it, it's in theaters, it says here.
Oh, I didn't even actually look at that part because frankly, I was so out on it that I didn't want to look.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it ends either right at or certainly just before last year when he released a song Kanye did called Heil Hitler. So again, it's a complex man, and I'll bet it's a complex documentary. And if you want to pay to see it in theaters, be my guest.
There's an opportunity there for you.
Yeah. So there you go. Thanks for pitching today's entertainment story of the day. We will be talking to a candidate for state senate from the Racine area in our next hour, along with pediatrician Dr. Kelly Snooks about vaccines. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Remember, you can sign up for our unabashedly Wisconsin news at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner up at the top of the homepage. We have a weekday version and a Sunday version as well. The Sunday version includes our question of the week, and this week's question laid out four of the better-known conspiracy theories that Senator Ron Johnson likes to spread. Which of them would you like to hear him stop talking about forever? And the fact that there was not an all of the above response did not sit well with a lot of people. And of course, one of them is the tremendous and gross disservice he's done to the American public during the pandemic and the conspiracies that he has been spreading. Of course, we now live in an age where a conspiracy theorist and vaccine doubter, denier, is in charge of the Department of Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy Jr. And that was the focus of a hearing yesterday when senators heard from Susan Menarez, a Wisconsin native who had been head of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, for barely a month before she was out after refusing to go along with Robert Kennedy Jr.'s demands that she embrace conclusions and talking points that did not have science and data to back them up. It was a sometimes testy Senate committee hearing, writes the New York Times, as Menarez talked about the ways that Kennedy had abandoned science in his ongoing dismantling of longstanding vaccine policy. Republicans, meanwhile, continued to claim that the CDC is what made the problem worse, because in those early months of the pandemic, when there was a lot of uncertainty out there, and it was noted at the time there was a lot of uncertainty out there, but apparently that lack of instant certainty helped to undermine public confidence in the CDC, though one could argue there were plenty of politicians who fueled that as well. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin was part of the panel and talked to Susan Menarez and also to Dr. Deborah Howery, the CDC's former chief medical officer, who quit in solidarity when Menarez was let go. And here is Senator Tammy Baldwin talking to Susan Menarez and then to Dr. Linda Howery.
Despite his proclamations of radical transparency, Secretary Kennedy has consistently failed to provide information to Congress as he continues to undermine public health from his role in the Trump administration. You've heard from me before, having Secretary Kennedy in charge of the health of Americans is dangerous. And what we're hearing from you today really underscores this for me. Dr. Menares, did Secretary Kennedy ever give you instructions on how you should interact with members of Congress?
He did. I had reached out to the committee to share my concerns. Secretary Kennedy became aware of that, and he was very concerned that I had spoken to members of Congress, and he told me I was never to do it again.
Congress and the American people need to know what is happening at the CDC, and this censorship is not radical transparency, and it is unacceptable. In Wisconsin, there are currently 36 cases of measles, all in unvaccinated individuals, 22 of whom are children. Dr. Auri, you have seen firsthand in the ER what vaccine-preventable disease can do. What would an increase in vaccine-preventable diseases mean for children and families across the country?
It's going to be heartbreaking. Not only will it overwhelm our healthcare system, but children will have, some of them will be deaf. You know, we've seen congenital measles cases in the U.S., and I think what concerns me is these aren't harmless diseases. We just saw the case in California of a young child that died of encephalitis from years after measles. These diseases have long-term consequences, and we don't need, in the U.S., we have gone so far in reversing this. We don't want our children to die.
That again was audio from a Senate committee hearing yesterday. Tammy Baldwin talking to the former head of the Centers for Disease Control and also to the chief medical officer at the CDC. Now, let's be fair and provide the response from the current spokesperson for the Health and Human Services Department, who, of course, works for Robert Kennedy Jr. and Donald Trump. And give a listen to this statement and tell me which one you think is better represented of science and health and the facts. Andrew Nixon, a spokesperson for Health and Human Services, said in an email that Dr. Menares was fired, quote, for declaring herself untrustworthy to the secretary and acting maliciously to undermine the president's agenda. Again, that was the reason Dr. Menares was fired from heading the CDC. Untrustworthy to the secretary and acting maliciously to undermine the president's agenda. What is the president's agenda at this point? One must ask, in all earnestness. Is the president's agenda to so substantially undermine public health that we again have children dying of the measles in this country? Is it really worth it to gain the reins of power by sowing that much mistrust and making yourself appear to be above, you know, doctors, scientists, researchers? And yet you had Republicans on the committee, again, repeating their criticisms of pandemic-era guidance on vaccines and other measures, saying that it helped to foster vaccine hesitancy and distrust. No, it didn't. They did. The politicians did. The anti-science people did. There's a chasm between Americans right now, not based on party necessarily, not based on ideology, not based on urban versus rural, but on those who, for some ungodly reason, were against basic safeguards to keep people alive in a pandemic, and the rest of us who will probably never forgive them for the extra misery and deaths that they caused, playing politics with a pandemic. And it continues to this day. We will talk to Dr. Kelly Snooks about vaccines in our next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.